gathering in.
Thank you.
Right.
And when you get to heaven, it will all seem beautiful. We'll have glorified local colors up there. But that's up there. Down here, it's just something. Sometimes it's good just to see. I don't know if sometimes that helps you through the day or not. Sometimes just, you know, the good old songs and the hymn book kind of comes in out of nowhere. And you sing and you minister to you. And so it's good to do that sometimes. All right, let's pray for Miss Teresa as she sings first.
I'm down in the valley and troubles seem to come my way. I've got a friend who walks with me night and day. I met him one night while I was down on my knees. His name is Jesus and he is all that I need. And now I'm happy and free. Things are not perfect, and there's still valleys, you see. But I have Jesus, and he is all that I need. Your burdens are heavy and it seems you're sinking low. Your friends all forsake you and there is no place to go. Let me introduce you to a man that can set you free. His name is Jesus and he is all that you'll need. And now I'm happy and free. Things are not perfect and there's still valleys you see. But I have Jesus and he is all that I need. Things are not perfect and there's still valleys you see. But I have Jesus and he is all that I need.
That's true. He is all we need. That's true. All right, turn to the Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter. Hebrews chapter 12.
Well, tonight and one more Wednesday night, we will be done with Ecclesiastes. Then be praying about where the Lord have us go after that. Now, last week, we looked at chapter 11, and we talked to all of you folks that are 30 and under. Well, guess what? This is for the rest of us. This one's coming up for the rest of us here, chapter 12. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to go verse by verse. I'm not going to read the whole section. We're going to go down to verse 7 tonight. But This chapter, if you've read it in your devotions, you may have wondered the strange things that Solomon is talking about. But when you look at them tonight, you're going to find they're not strange at all. They really come together as a unit. And so I'll show that to you in just a few moments. We're going to divide the chapter into two parts. Verses 1 through 7 are going to teach us this principle that foolishness believes that youth is ultimate. Now, when you're young, you don't think about getting old. I marvel at youth. I'm amazed I used to be one. Because there are things when you're young you can do that some of us, the older we get, can't do anymore. And when you're young, you don't think about getting old. When I was young, I never understood how a person could sit in a chair like a recliner and go to sleep. Now, doesn't that sound silly? Now I do it. But remember Red Skelton? Red Skelton says, "I do'd it." Well, now I do'd it. But back when I was young, I just said, why are they going to sleep in the chair? I never understood that because I was young and I didn't get tired like that. And so now the older you get, it's like, okay. It's like all of a sudden you're just like this. And it's bad when you wake yourself up snoring or, you dribble a little bit, what I'm saying? And you go, that kind of thing. And so that's bad, but that is part of it. When you're young, you don't think about getting old. You just don't do that, It's just not part of the mentality or the thought process. Okay? What'd you say? I fear that I am drawing on personal experience. It's pretty rough, Well, here's what he's going to say to us, because chapter 11 was for the young man. Chapter 12 for those of us that are now beginning to climb a little. He says, remember, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. He likens life to two periods of time. Now, up here, you don't see it as much as you do when I used to live in Florida. I lived in Florida for 5 years. My wife is a Floridian. And I tell people that I pulled her away from the white sands of Florida and brought her to the red clay of Virginia, and she has not forgiven me for that yet. But you can be in Florida and the sky just be so beautiful and bright, and bam, showers. And something that she never saw till she moved up here was what I call gray days. You know what I'm talking about? We have some days where there's no sunshine. The sky's just totally gray. There's no such creature in Florida. We never saw gray days in Florida. It was always either bright or it was a storm. The storm would come and it'd clear right back up. But up in this area, we had the gray days. And so he is likening life. And youth is like a bright sunny day, but then when you get older, here come the billowing clouds of age. Okay? And so that's what he's speaking of here. And he says, when you're young, he said, remember your Creator when you're young. Now, why? Because you can do more when you're young than when you're old. One of the things that saddens me about mission work is that, as far as independent Baptists are concerned, I'm very bothered by the fact that a young couple can feel the call of God to go to a mission field and then spend 6 and 7 years traveling in America trying to get money, because that's 6 and 7 years of their life gone. That's the one problem that I do have with our independent Baptist movement, is the fact that I don't like the way we do. I feel like we need to get our missionaries on the field as quick as possible, and it doesn't happen. And I'm thinking, let's say that a young couple starts out, if they're 30 years of age, then if it takes them 7 years to get, because I remember back when I was a young preacher, I remember you could get support in 4 years. Now it says, now they're saying that it takes 7 to 8 years for missionaries to get their support now. That means that they're going to be close to 40 before they get to the field. And I'm thinking their youth, a large part of their youth has been eaten up on the road. And they're not able to use that youth on a, especially if it's a foreign mission field. So when you're young, he says, remember the days of thy Creator. Okay, because one of these days, we talk about the evil days. One of these days when we have to start slowing down. One of those times when the rheumatism and the arthritis and all the problems come in. He said, that's coming. But when you're young, give yourself to serving the Lord Jesus. And so he talks about that, but he says, remember something. Remember, don't waste your youth on doing what's evil. Because he uses that word there in verse 1, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. You know, a lot of our young people, they live and sow to the flesh, and then the Bible says they reap corruption. And that's wrong. We should use our youth to serve God. Because things happen when we get older. We don't like it, but it does. And he's going to give a, and I'm going to read to you a list of things that you may have wondered why he wrote such a strange list. But there's a reason for why he's going to talk about the things that he's going to talk about. He's going to talk about, now I'm not going to hit them long, but there are 15 things here. And I want you to see why he talks about 15 things. Let's look at verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now he's going to start talking about old age. Okay? He's going to show us things and he's going to use an earthly story, an earthly illustration, to teach a truth about getting old. Okay? Alright? Verse 3. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Used to be the day a young person get up, bam, 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 everywhere. But the older you get, what happens when you try to get out of a chair? Your knees begin to give way. They pop. They sound like Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, pop. Okay? Some of you young people have no problem with that. You don't know what I'm talking about. Praise God. Thank the Lord you don't. But some of us, we grunt. We groan a little. And some, the older they get, have to have assistance getting up. Right? Why? Because their knees or their legs tremble and shake because they're getting what? Getting feeble. Now, do you see where he's going with this? He said, in the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. What's the keeper of the house? My body. This is my house. The keepers of my house. When it begins to tremble, my legs begin to get. When I get so old that I cannot stand, when I get so old that I have to be in a wheelchair constantly, or when I get to the place that I have to have a walker, or I have to have a cane, or whatever. Why? Because the legs, those legs that used to be so strong and powerful and could walk everywhere and run everywhere and do all of this, and now they begin to tremble. Okay? Then he says this, and the strong men shall bow themselves. That's talking about the back. Okay. Does the word osteoporosis mean anything to you? The older you get, you have the problem, the potential problem of back problems. We see, especially, for whatever reason, especially ladies seem to have a tremendous battle with osteoporosis, so much that you see such a curvature of the spine the older they get, you know. And that's tragic. But that is a reality. That is a physical reality. Some people are born and have back problems. Sometimes people injure their backs at work, and it seems to never get better. Okay. So there is a bowing or a bowing, if you will, that takes place the older you get and you start having back trouble And really, I'm firmly convinced when you start having back trouble, that'll about take you out. You can a lot of things. You can get a cane to help you with your legs. You can do a lot. But when that back goes, brother, you're just not going very far. And so he talks about the
the bowing of the back, or bowing down. The strong men shall bow themselves. Used to be strong, powerful, broad shoulders. Now time has made a difference, and now they're having to stoop when they walk. See, the grinders cease because they are few. Those are your teeth. Okay? It's a bad thing when you look at your teeth and you see cavities and you see them getting yellow and some of them start hurting and you go to the doctor or the dentist and the dentist starts saying, well, you might have to have your teeth pulled. You might have to have false teeth put in. That's a sad thing, especially if you like a big old slab of steak or something like that. Your grinders are few and you can't eat but on certain sides of your mouth, but that happens. I envy people who are on up in years and still have their teeth, because that sometimes doesn't happen. But that's what he's talking about. The grinders shall be few. Okay, so he's talking about the things that affect us or change when we get older. The legs change, the back changes, the teeth change. Then it says, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Where are your windows? Right here. I have to say that I have worn these probably longer than most people have. I think I started wearing glasses. I know when I was a kid, I forget how old. But some people have been blessed and they haven't started having problems with their eyesight until later on. And then maybe they can wear contacts, then the contacts don't work and they have to wear glasses. And it used to be the days, you well know, you had to wear what they used to call, bottle? Is it bottle caps? Is that what they were called? The big old thick lenses, remember? And they resemble the bottom of a Coke bottle. And thankfully you don't have to wear those anymore. But the eyes start going, and then of course, unfortunately, some people are stricken with blindness. Hence, he said, the windows are what? Darkened. So some people have very poor eyesight, and some people, my mother, when she died, was considered legally blind. And, it's those things happen. But talks about the darkening of the windows. And then in verse 4, and the doors shall be shut in the streets. When the sound of the grinding is low. Another thing that happens with people the older they get is that noises keep them awake. Used to be the time. Now, right now, I'm still pretty fortunate, because I know I can sleep through about anything. We've told that story before. But there are some people, the older they get, they become restless and they become sleepless, and they don't sleep as soundly as they did. And there's going to be reasons why they say this, why the Bible tells us this in just a few moments. But it talks about the fact that that the doors should be shut. Why are the doors shut? This leads to a second thing, and that is that not only is there a sleeplessness that takes place, but there is a fear that takes place also. Why is it, if you go to see people, elderly people, in their homes, do you notice that they do a lot of locks and bolts? More so maybe than other people, because they know if somebody breaks into their home, they are totally at their mercy. How hard is it to disarm, an 80-year-old man with a cane? Okay, not unless he is an expert athlete or something, and still good at 80, and that happens, but what he's talking about. So there is an element of fear that is in there also. So it says, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of a bird. Even the sound of a bird scares older people. They hear a noise. I had I won't say who it is. They passed on now, but got a phone call, I'll just say this, from a relative years ago. And they took medication for their illnesses. And they called me up and they said, I need you to come to my house. And so I went to the house. And I went to the door, and this relative opened the door and said, pointed up to a tree and said, do you see them? I said, see what? He said, do you see those people up in the tree looking at us? What had happened, they had taken too much of their medicine and they were hallucinating. They were afraid. They were afraid somebody was going to get in the house. And so that, and it was really weird because, I mean, I'm like, what? And I'm looking at this tree and this person is seeing people sitting in the branches looking. And really believe that's what they saw. Now, that's got to be scary. Got to be scary. Whether it's right or wrong, it's got to be scary to see something like that. And when you look and you talk and you see older people, they get what? They get afraid. There's fear there. And that fear happens like in the middle of the night, some noise takes place and they just declare somebody's breaking in. When all it could possibly be is a branch that's scratching against a window. Okay? So it says, and the door shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. He shall rise up, voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Then in verse 5, and also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. Let me stop there for a moment. Notice the phrase that says, and the almond tree shall flourish. An almond tree, at least in those days in the Orient, when it blossomed, they were white. So he's talking about the fact that those, as we get older, the hair may turn from brunette or brown, blonde, and then it starts turning gray. And then it starts turning loose. And that's part of the old age factor that they're talking about. So they've talked about different things that affect the body. Our legs are affected by age. Our back, our teeth, our eyes, our hearing. Okay, I think I missed I didn't. I'm talking about the hearing because they hear the least little thing. And that brings about the sleeplessness. And then that brings about the fear and then the gray-headedness. And then it says this. It says, after the almond tree, it says, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Now you would think that something like a grasshopper, it's interesting that they say the grasshopper shall be a burden. Did you ever notice about how that when old people get older, they worry more about it? Now it seems like when you were young and you're starting out, it seems like that's when you ought to worry. And then it seems like when you get and you're reaching the golden years, it seems like, well, things ought to be in a little better shape and, you know, everything's a little better. But everything sometimes worries people. And in this case, he uses the illustration that the grasshopper's a burden. Well, what is a grasshopper? It's a little insect. It shouldn't bother you. But in the mindset of this particular illustration, even something as small as a grasshopper distresses some people. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when you go, I'm sure Ms. Parsons sees this with the different people that live in the nursing home at Riverside, little tiny things, I mean little tiny things, people have a fit of, you know, just crying because their pillow is not where it's supposed to be, and just start crying, you know. And then you go in there and you straighten the pillow up, and it's just not right, and it never is going to be right because now they're all ill and out of sorts, and it's that same little tiny things, you know. And instead of looking at the big scope and the big picture, they're worried about these little tiny things. And then that seems to be part of the characteristic of what you see. When we get older, it's like those little minuscule things drive us crazy. Whereas years ago, no big deal. But now it's like, oh man, this is going to keep me up all night. And so he talks about the grasshopper being the bird. And desire shall fail. It's amazing that the older we get, desire, passion for things, goals that we set, that just fades away. Because when we were young, we had the passion and the desire to do things, and then now people are just satisfied to just sit in a rocking chair. And so those things take place.
It is a hard thing to
go and to visit, like I say, some of the nursing homes, because you see some people are in great shape, and then there are others that, you know, they've lost about everything up here. They look at you. I know when we've gone up to see Sister Parsons at Riverside, and I've seen it at several other places. One of the saddest things to me is to see a man, or especially a lady, and she's got a bib, and she drools, and she has a doll. And you know, that tears me up. Because there was a time where that woman had life and enjoyed gusto and raised a family. And some of those people, their families have abandoned them and left them. How do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, I appreciate the fact that, you know, that Miss Teresa and Miss Nancy and the family took care of Sister Puvia like they did. But not many people are going to do that. Can I use this plainness of speech after you've been growing up and somebody wipes your hiney? Can I be that plain with you? And then you're going to stick them off someplace and forget about it? I don't understand that. Desire shall fail because man goeth to his long home. That's what our journey is in life. Now think about it. Here we start, and we're born. It's like little Caleb. And somewhere we hit a plateau. Some think, biblically speaking, the plateau might be 33 years, because if you think about it, if you take 33 and double it, you get 66. And what does Proverbs say? Proverbs talks about the days of man's life being what? 70 or 70. Now there are some people that live to be way beyond 70, but there are many that do not. Which leads me to believe that 70 is a norm or a median that the Bible gives us. So wherever that plateau is, then we start going down. And then before you know it, there are times where people are back to the place of their birth. They have to be taken and cared for like a baby. Isn't that like a cycle or a circle of life type thing? And look how the Bible uses that phraseology. It says, because man goeth to his long home. From the time of birth to the time of death, the longevity of your life, that's your long home, right down here on this earth. It's amazing, isn't it, when you get to looking at how fast time goes. And it goes, and you think about some, I think about things and I think about, well, next month is what? The anniversary of 9/11. I can hardly believe that happened a decade ago. But I mean, it has. It's going to be the 10th anniversary of that tragedy. And I think back, you know, where was I? I always ask people, but where were you when it happened? When you heard about what happened on 9/11, where were you when that happened? And I can remember. I can remember where I was when I heard that the story of that. I remember it. I remember it was on a Tuesday because we were going to the Bible Institute in Greensboro, and I've always taught there on Tuesday nights. I remember it happened on Tuesday because we were all talking about it at the Bible college that night. And so, I mean, you know, those things come to your mind. But a long journey, a long trip, and it's amazing if we live to be whatever age we are, and then we're gone, and the Lord takes us home, and it's like man's life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Brother Julius and Miss Pam came and did a great job helping out at Bethany's wedding, but it's not going to be long. Caleb is going to be walking down that aisle with his bride before you know it. Hate to tell you that. Somebody told me one time, says you turn around and they're grown. They grow up on them. Why? Because of the law. And it's not. And you know, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Bethany's married. It's just like we used to hold her as a baby, and now she's married. And then and however many long years, if the Lord's willing, you know, maybe we'll have grandchildren, but it's like I'm going to look whenever they have grandma. What? What? You know? And it's just amazing, the longevity of life. Now let me try to finish up here because I'm past time, but I really want to finish this. Verse 6, or even the silver cord be loosed. The silver cord is talking about one of the most important cords in your body. That's your spinal cord. Injury to your spinal cord. Why is it silver? One of the most precious of all commodities. Mobility is a precious commodity. Injure your spine, and you may not have longevity of mobility, being able to walk or whatever. Okay? Or the golden bowl is broken. Gold is considered the most precious thing as far as a commodity. Then what's the most precious thing that I have on my body? And it's my head. Alright? You ever done this? You're outside and there's an explosion. What do you do if you hear an explosion? Without your reaction, you don't even think about it. First thing is, because it's just a reaction. This is important. This head is important. If this head is cracked, then there's exposure to the next thing. Look at the next thing. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain. Your brain. You have a pitcher, and inside of it you have water. But if you smash it, then you have no water. If that brain gets smashed, you have no life. You're a vegetable. It was interesting the other day. We've of course been praying about the situation with Greg, but we went down to Patrick County to the camp meeting last Friday night, and the church that I used to pastor, the parsonage there where we used to live, UPS truck came down the road, and I looked, and the driver was going to make a drop off, and I looked and I said, I think I know that driver. Well, this young man, when he stepped out, he grinned, and I knew him automatically. And he used to be one of my art students at Westover 10 years ago. And we were talking about, I said, I haven't seen you, because he usually is up in Martinsville. He's here in Danville, and they commute, you know, everywhere. UPS goes everywhere. And so I usually see him all the time up in Martinsville, but I hadn't seen him in a long time. And I said, what are you doing all the way out here in Patrick County? And he reached back and he showed me, and he pointed, and on the back of his neck there was a surgical, you know, scar. And he said, back at Christmas time, he said, let me get this right. I think he said he was riding an SUV, maybe? And ATV? Okay, get my letters right. And somehow I know what it was. He was following a buddy, and his buddy did a swerve and didn't understand why his buddy did a swerve, and then when he was right on top of it, it was a tree stump. And he hit it, sent him spiraling, and he landed on his head, broke his neck. And This young man, very athletic, loved baseball. Played the baseball team at Westover. And he said they took him to the hospital for surgery, and they told him that they didn't give him much chance to walk and was afraid he might have become a vegetable. And he said, you know, bottom line, you couldn't tell. You could not tell. And I just said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, you don't look like anybody's been in that kind of an accident. He said, well, it was touch and go for a while. He said, I just started back to work. So he was out, 7 months? And he said, Lord, been good. And I said, well, that's evident. It's evident. Because he could have, you know, cut his vocal cords, I mean his spinal cord, crack his head. I mean, he snapped it. But, I mean, you just wouldn't, if he had not told me that, I would never have believed it. But he was just as normal as he could be. But and I probably would have thought he was lying to me, but when he showed me the scars on the back of the neck, there was no doubt about that. But that's an example of what we're talking about here. The silver cord, the spine, the golden bowl, the head, the pitcher containing the brain, which must at all costs be protected. And then it says the wheel broken at the cistern. The wheel on a vehicle, like, let's talk about the old covered wagon days, or if you want to talk about your car, you can crank a car all you want to, but if it doesn't have wheels, it's not going anywhere, so it doesn't do a bit of good. And you know what? If I don't have my heart, then I'm just a body. Not going anywhere, not doing a thing. But I've got to have that heart ticking. Okay. Now, do you see all of those things? That's something like 15 things in this chapter in which he uses a human analogy, a human illustration, to picture how important this body is. And that one day, the older we get, the body begins to deteriorate. But if we have a measure of good health, then praise the Lord. We lost track of a couple. We kind of adopted them from Bethany's grandparents. I pastored them up in Martinsville 10 years ago. We've lost track of them. More than likely, they probably passed on. But they moved up to Fredericksburg, Virginia, to live with some relatives. But they were in their early 80s at the time when we knew them. But these folks, this man and woman, were able, with such beautiful eloquence, at 80-some years of age, they could do ballroom dancing. Now, I'm going to tell you, let's get rid of the perversions that you hear about with dancing. And if you look at the beauty of something like ballroom dancing, not much on earth any prettier than that if people can do it and do it right. And they could do it. We would watch them, and they'd put on the music, and they would just, you know, I mean, it was beautiful. And yet, there are people that they get to a certain age and, boy, they'd love to do that. And love to be able to move. They'd love to be able to move. They'd love to not have to hurt and have rheumatism and arthritis and you know. So he says to them, at the beginning, remember now thy creators in the days of thy youth. Because one day you better realize something, you're going to get old. The Lord, if the Lord tarries, the Lord doesn't come back soon, we're all going to get old. The almond tree is going to turn white. And says to the young people, and to all of us, you know, sometimes we complain and we say, I can't do this, I can't do that. You know, hey, boy, shout it out, you can do what you can do. Isn't that a blessing? Just, you know, I'm hurting, this, that, hey, thank God you can do something. Because there's several alternatives. They're not good ones. So at least I may be older than I was, but I'm younger than I'm going to be. You know? That's a good way to look at it. I'm older than I was, but I'm younger than I'm going to be. All right, so praise the Lord.
Sister Parson, 99 years of age, but hey, you're still younger than 120. And there are people live to be 120. I wouldn't doubt it. You probably will. But you're still a spring chicken. So, I mean, we all have to look at it from that standpoint. All right, let's go ahead and we'll just dismiss in prayer tonight for sake of time. And there's some things to hang our hats on to think about. And let's be sure and be praying for Brother Buddy. And I tell you what, Brother Julius, you come on and receive the offering. We'll just pray and do all that good stuff. And let's pray for our missions conference starting next Wednesday, please. Let's pray that we have a good missions revival. And Lord bless us. And Dr. Martin will be bringing the messages the Lord had him to bring. It's different needs. We just have many needs. We pray for Brother Buddy as he has his test in the morning. It's very important. Pray all that works out well. I know it's a burden to Brother Buddy and Miss Teresa, but let's pray God will just beautifully, beautifully take charge of this whole thing. He's able to do it. So let's pray for that. All right, you pray for us, brother.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for the day. For your blessings on this, Lord. We pray for Brother Buddy tomorrow as he goes in for his test, Lord. We pray that the doctors will be able to find out what's wrong with anything, Lord. Medicine to be able to take care of him, and if he had anything major that happened, he'll be able to be back in his place, Lord, regularly. I know he loves you, Lord. We pray for the others of our church that are sick this evening, that you'll bless them, that you'll bless the offering, the giver, and the one they have in you. And by the name of the Lord, you should be able to bless them.
Amen. Well, hope you have a good weekend. Don't know if you got anything planned for Labor Day, but it's hard to believe that summer is finally coming to an end, and I'm about ready for that. I love fall. It's my favorite time of year. Love it. Love the cool temperatures, the beautiful leaves, all that good stuff. So before we know it, it'll be about time to have the Brunswick stew, won't it? That's coming up in October. Wow. Time. Won't even talk about Christmas, will we? All right. Okay. Have a great night. Be careful going home, and we will see you, Lord willing, on Sunday.